Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Unlike a lot of radio and TV personalities, David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, brace yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm excited to have the program today because I'm going to shift gears, as I like to do on this program. You say, what's he going to talk about today? Well, today we're going to talk about teaching leaders at every level how to create engaged employees. So this is for those business owners out there, also for those employees to have some perspective. And it's an interesting topic. And I've asked Wally Houck to come on the program, and he is a PhD. He is, and there he is. Hey, Wally. You're anxious. You're ready. You're ready. Okay. I heard you. All right. He's got a PhD in organizational leadership from Warren National University, MBA in finance from Iona College.
That's correct.
All right. Bachelor's in philosophy from University of Pennsylvania. So well-educated and well-schooled. You do a lot of public speaking. I can tell that already, Wally. But you've written the book, Stop the Leadership Malpractice, How to Replace the Typical Performance Appraisal. And I am all ears as a business owner in creating a relationship with my employees where we are all on the same page and we don't have to have a rigid and not so productive appraisal, performance, annual review process. So I'm very interested in how you're going to help us with that. The website, ladies and gentlemen, is wallyhauck.com. I'm going to spell it for you. It's Wally, H-A-U-C-K.com. So Wally, how's that for a start?
Boy, David, that's a great introduction.
Okay, so do help us business owners out here who, you know, we go, how do we make this work? Because we want to treat our people respectfully. We want to reward them. We want to compensate them. We want them to understand what we're trying to accomplish. We want them to feel invested, empowered, all those things. So how do we do that?
I'm definitely going to help you.
I'm definitely going to help you.
Let me start with the definition of engagement, because this is a term that all leaders must thoroughly understand today, because it's so much more important than it used to be. Engagement is the voluntary action by employees because they actually want to put in discretionary effort.
Ooh, I like that. That's an excellent word because, you know, they can look busy. They can work till 4:59 and put on their tennis shoes and knock you down getting out the door. But we want them to have that discretionary interest and enthusiasm that they don't have to provide, but be invested.
Exactly. They don't have to do it, but they want to do it. And they want to do it because you have created an environment that allows them to be great. And that's really what that book is about. That book is about stopping some things. You know, if we're going to improve leadership, there's some things that we have to do differently, and there's some things that we have to stop doing. And I believe that, in my experience in the last 20 years, there's a huge amount of opportunity for us to shift our way of doing leadership. And I'd like to give an example.
Okay, good.
Imagine that you're not feeling well and you've not felt well for a while. So you finally decide, okay, I'm going to go into one of these walk-in, you know, it's not an emergency, so you're not going to go to the hospital, but you're going to walk into one of these walk-in clinics that are very popular throughout the country, and you know you're going to see a physician. So you walk in, and he or she asks you a bunch of questions, and you describe the symptoms, and he or she says, all right, I'm ready to treat you now. What I'd like you to do is lay down, and I'm going to put these leeches on you, and it's going to suck out some of the toxins that in your blood, and that's what's really going to make you feel good. I don't know about you, but I would run from that physician before they started putting leeches on me. But that's an example of a tool that physicians don't use anymore because they know that they've got new technology that helps them to better diagnose what's going on and to better treat people with all kinds of pharmaceuticals or treatments or whatever. So I believe what we're doing is, in leadership, we're using an old technology, a technology that's outdated, in an effort to improve performance and engagement. And not only is that not working, but it's making things worse. It's making people run. If they don't run out the door because the economy is not quite so great right now, they're not going to run out the door, but they're going to run out mentally. And we cannot afford, especially if you're a small business, you cannot afford to have anybody only half invested in your business if you've got an employee. You've got to have them fully invested. They have to be fully engaged in their hearts and minds. And so that's what I'm all about. Now, the book that you mentioned, which I really appreciate, is Stop the Leadership Malpractice, Replace the Typical Performance Appraisal. So I believe that the typical performance appraisal is like the leeches. We're using that tool, and it's an outdated tool. It actually has the opposite effect
I agree.
Of the engagement that that we're looking for.
Well, with the leeches, I can't help but first have to say, I know it's a hypothetical, but I'd have to first want to know if they're covered by my health plan. And then I probably would run with you, Wally. I think there's another way of using that as an analogy that play on words is that, like the leeches, the traditional performance appraisal can leech all of the enthusiasm right out of the employee. And I got to tell you, and I'll tell everybody out there, I think a lot of employers dread that type of appraisal as much as the employee does, or find it maybe wanting as much as the employee does. And you know, as a company, we've tried to get away from, try to separate and have that engagement process. And we're still working on it, which is why I found your topic and your book so relevant. We're still working on getting better at it, but doing some separation where it's not, okay, let's do your performance, see how much money you can get this year as compensation for that. Trying to get those two separated a little bit and make adjustments where we feel like they're appropriate compensation-wise, but then have the other interaction, whatever we're going to do instead of that rigid appraisal, have that be more of a constructive process that's not all about, okay, let's get to the end of it and tell you how much more money you're going to get.
Yeah, exactly. That's a control technique. That's one of the leeches. In my book, I talk about the pay-for-performance model that we currently have actually generates all kinds of unintended consequences. So I consider that current method of compensation really a control technique, and nobody likes to be controlled. When you feel like you're being controlled either subtly or overtly or covertly, you are not going to be fully engaged.
I think people want to be empowered. I think that's the key. Let's do this, Wally. Let's grab a quick break. We'll come back. Wally Houck is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, wallyhouck.com. We'll be right back after the short break.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Wally Houck is our guest today, and he is helping us kind of frame up this question or the challenge for business owners, managers to motivate, engage, empower their employees. And as a business owner myself, I'm very interested. So I will have to remind myself that we're doing an interview and I'm not getting some coaching from Wally. So in your book, Wally, the Stop the Leadership Malpractice, How to Replace the Typical Performance Appraisal, you break your book up into four main sections, I guess, and we could maybe use that and step through that if you'd like to kind of deconstruct what we're trying to accomplish and then reconstruct it in a more effective way of getting the results we want that's going to get people empowered.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the first, as I understand it, is what you call the causation. Now, what's that about?
Well, the causation is really the what is really the unintended consequences of doing the current performance appraisal. And I believe that part of that causation is our way of thinking. And I'd like to give the audience a distinction here that I assert is really valuable. Well, if you agree with me, it's valuable. The distinction that most leaders fail to make is the distinction between what I call a values issue and a systems issue. And this distinction is absolutely critical to be able to better manage performance. But when I say manage performance, I'm talking about helping employees to manage their own behaviors. Why should a manager be responsible for managing employee behaviors?
Amen. Amen to that.
It sounds absolutely ludicrous to me, because automatically what you're doing is you're treating them like victims that they cannot, or children, that they cannot manage their own behaviors. So I like to suggest that we draw a distinction between what I call values behaviors and then systems issues. Values behaviors are things that we can control. So, for example, it's absolutely critical to always be respectful. There's no excuse not to be respectful in the workplace. Even if you're attacked, verbally, physically, I'm not talking about physical attack, but even if somebody's angry or upset, you still have a choice on how you behave. You may be upset, but you will always have a choice about how you behave.
Very good. That's very good. I'm going to check these off as we go, Wally. So far, okay. Check.
All right, good. Now, the other piece that I assert is really critical is integrity, and this is where everybody can manage their own agreements. And so what agreements do you make when you come to work, and what agreements do you want employees to make, and what agreements do employees want you to make with them? So it's about managing agreements, and an agreement is something specific, measurable, and time-sensitive. So, for example, you and I had an agreement to start this interview at a certain time, end the interview at a certain time. You shared with me, we're going to take a couple of breaks. I said, fine. Those are agreements that we facilitated with each other. And so if we keep those agreements, if we just manage our own agreements, what happens to the trust and performance in the organization? It goes up, it skyrockets, versus trying to evaluate people and find out, well, is there something wrong with you that you can't come to work on time? No. It's are you going to come to work on time, or are you not going to come to work on time? Can you make an agreement to show up at 8 o'clock, yes or no? What is it going to be? So the excuses are out the window. Now, the challenge for leaders, though, is that they have to be impeccable first. And this is not an easy challenge, because that means you have to demonstrate. You've got to walk the talk.
Right.
Are you going to be respectful, and are you going to keep your agreements with your employees? If you do, then you have the influence to say to them, listen, you're going to either keep your agreements or you can't work here.
That's pretty straightforward. I like that. And it removes, there's no judgment. It removes any personality or any, as you said, excuse-making, Wally. It puts it to where it's people are responsible for their own behavior.
Exactly. So you're right. It takes out all the, there's no reason for judgment. There's no need for the judgment. Either you're here or you're not. Either you kept your agreement or you're not. Either you have a respectful tone or you don't. What is it going to be? And if you can't do that, I'm sorry, this is not the place.
And I like what you said, Wally, about leaders needing to lead by an example, set the example, and honor their agreements, and I can tell you that every opportunity I've ever had, even if it was financially or otherwise maybe inconvenient, I've always tried to honor those commitments or those. You use the word, I use commitment. I use the same as agreement. And okay. I think that is what I think that's what makes people comfortable and understand. And you know, I think what a lot of business owners sometimes forget is there's a big difference between a leader and a dictator.
That's right.
Because we tend to have hierarchical structures in business, naturally. Everybody's got a manager. Everybody's got, you know, there's a clear, and I think clear lines of authority are important, but beyond that, you know, then it needs to move into more of the leading influence.
So the next piece of this, once you manage that behavior, once you're managing your agreements, the next piece is, how do you manage the system within which you work? Because the system within which you work are the processes and the policies and the steps that you have to take to complete your work, and the interactions between people, the information that you have to get from others. Those things all impact attitude and engagement and performance. And so the story I like to tell is my daughter, when she was in sixth grade, and she was taking the bus. And here's what I heard from my wife almost every morning. My wife would say, "Emily, you're not ready. Hurry up. You're going to miss the bus. Get going. Where's your books? You didn't make your bed. You're not dressed yet. Look at the time. Hurry up." So this went on for a few months. And one morning, Emily missed the bus. She comes downstairs. My office is downstairs. She comes down crying. She says, "Dad, take me to school. I missed the bus." I said, "All right, honey." I said, "I'll take you to school. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about, what process are you using to catch the bus?" She said, "Dad, I'm only 12. Don't ask me these questions." I said, "No, there's a process that you could use that you could manage your own time so that mom doesn't yell at you." And she kind of rolled her eyes. She said, "All right, fine, Dad, but so take me to school." So I took her to school, but she came back that night. She said, "Dad, I thought about what you said. Buy me an egg timer, and I'll put it on the kitchen table. I'll set it for 5 minutes before the bus goes, and I'll put my books out by the front door the night before, and I bet I'll be able to catch the bus." I said, "Great, let's try it out." She said, "All right." And so for the next 3 years, she never missed the bus. She was never late, and there was a lot less yelling. So the real root cause of a lot of the conflict in organizations is dysfunctional processes that people cannot understand how to improve or don't take the time to improve. Instead, what leaders tend to do is they tend to blame people instead of look at process. And so the other part of my book, the causation, is look at process and work together as a partnership to fix the processes in your business.
Excellent.
And your performance will soar.
Well, let's do this, Wally. We're going to take another quick break. I'm going to go buy 12 egg timers, and we're going to come right back. Stay tuned.
All right.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Wally Houck is our guest, owner, president, Optimum Leadership, wallyhouck.com. The book is Stop the Leadership Malpractice, How to Replace the Performance Appraisal, and Wally's helping us kind of walk through this thought process and how we can better, as business owners, leaders, managers, better enable the employees. But of course, the employees have a big role in this too, because they've got to accept that responsibility for their own egg timer and putting their books out so they can make sure they get out the door. So as we move into this, you've got the claim, you've got the causation. Let's move into the thoughts you have about how to replace what we recognize. Even before reading your book, Wally, I think intuitively a lot of people know, and your book is going to obviously bring that very clearly into focus, but we know that some of these current systems are flawed for the evaluation or appraisal. Let's move into what you call the verdict.
Yeah, the verdict is the answer. What's the answer to this dilemma that we have? And the answer really is a change in focus or perspective. instead of focusing on the individual and evaluating the individual, the employee and the leader partner, they become partners to focus on a common challenge, which is the quality of their interaction. So instead of focusing on what's wrong with the employee, because that's the way the typical appraisal is, the leader always evaluates the employee. The employee rarely has an opportunity to say, hey, boss, you know, you're screwing up. You're asking me to do something you won't do. And how do you expect me to do that and be engaged at the same time? It's not safe to say that. But when you take away the grade, then what you do is you create more of a partnership and a colleague type of arrangement so that you can focus on the quality of the interaction. So the purpose of the new appraisal, the replacement appraisal, is to improve the quality of trust between the employee and the manager or leader, and then to improve the quality of the system's interaction between the employee and the system they work in.
So you take away you can look at it either as a stick or the carrot, you take that away from the part of the relationship between the employer and the employee, the manager and the employee. And I'll go back to your talk about, you know, having children take responsibility for themselves. If a parent has the reward or the punishment there, sitting there, it's hard to have a constructive conversation.
Yeah, and so the shift is to discuss how do we improve the interactions or the process interactions between the employee and in the system. So, for example, with the story I told about my daughter, what she did was she improved her process of how she got ready for school and to catch the bus. Now, she made an agreement with me and her mom to always set the timer, to set it accurately, and to always put her books out at the front door. Now, if she keeps those agreements, the prediction is she will catch the bus. And so she was right about that. So that means the process that she created was right. And now the agreement that she made, now I don't have to worry about her. I know she's going to catch the bus because I know she's going to keep the agreement. Because if she does not keep that agreement, then she's in trouble because she broke her integrity with me. And that's a behavioral issue, not a systems issue.
Well, and you know what else, Wally, that occurred to me as you're describing it? When the employee does that, or the child does that, they're not just making an agreement with the person in authority. The big part of this, it seems to me, is that they're also making that agreement with themselves.
With themselves. They're taking personal responsibility for that part of their interaction. It's exactly correct. So then, instead of being a child, and that's how we tend to treat employees with this typical appraisal. The typical appraisal assumes that the leader knows more than the employee.
You got that right.
Because they are the judge of the employee, and that changes the whole relationship. So if the employee sees a mistake or a problem, what do? They hold back. They don't tell the truth. Well, not telling the truth, how do you measure the cost to an organization when an employee does not speak up when they see a mistake?
I can answer. I know it's rhetorical, but it could be a lot of money.
It could be. It's a huge amount of money. Exactly. It's a rhetorical question because it's really not measurable. So there's stuff that goes right to the bottom line for this because you're creating leaders in your organization instead of creating victims or children.
Excellent. Wally Houck, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest today, PhD and author of Stop the Leadership Malpractice, How to Replace a Typical Performance Appraisal. Quick break, and we'll talk about the final piece of this, the settlement, after this break.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. WallyHauck.com is a website. Wally Hauck, PhD, is the gentleman on the phone with me today, and we're talking about teaching leaders at every level to creating engaged employees, invested, enthused employees, employees that are willing to take ownership. And the final part of Wally's book, the fourth part, is the settlement. So let's close with this, Wally. What is that all? How does that kind of bring it together?
Yeah, the settlement is really the conversation that you can have with your employee without knowing, letting them know that you're not going to grade them anymore.
They're not at risk.
They're not at risk.
Right.
Exactly. That's exactly right. What you've done is you've taken the risk out of them telling you the truth. And by doing that, then you can take action together, or you can have influence with them now to ask them to do things that they will want to do because they know now that you're their partner.
And let me ask you this real quick, Wally. In doing that, doesn't that lend itself to a more frequent dialogue to where it's not this big formal once a year thing or semi-annually, but it's as needed and as it seems right to get together
exactly
and talk about these things?
That's exactly right. If you've got a new employee, for example, you're going to do it much more frequently than you might do it with someone who's been with you a while, who knows their job, and in fact, you could delegate more to. So you want to do it as frequently as either you or the employee can do. In fact, what I've discovered from my clients is that you can have these conversations peer-to-peer as well. The typical appraisal is always boss to employee. But if you have an employee, and we all have these, we have an employee that we deal with more than any other, and it's really important that we have high trust. It's important that we have quality interactions. It's important that I keep the agreements that they want me to keep and that they keep their agreements with me that I need them to keep in order to do my job. So I might have a meeting of this, and I'm calling it the complete performance improvement process. You can do this with a peer because it's all about the quality of the interactions. It's not about evaluating the person. So there's no hierarchy in this discussion. It's about how do you improve the interactions with how we talk with each other. How do we improve the interactions with our handoffs? That's the other part. That's one of the final thoughts I'd like to leave you and the audience is.
Sure.
Think about what your handoffs are. There's hundreds of handoffs in organizations that occur in order to get the outcome for the customer. Hundreds, if not thousands, if not millions, depending upon the size of the organization. What handoffs are you responsible for, and to whom, and how, and what's the quality of those handoffs to those people that you deliver to? So, for example, if you're going to send an email to somebody with some information, is it complete? Is it timely? Is it accurate? Is it so clear that they don't send another email back to you and say, what are you talking about here? I have no idea what you're talking about. That's a bad handoff.
That's a bad handoff.
And bad handoffs cost you money in ways that you cannot measure. So everybody, the settlement is, get your handoffs perfect, have conversations about how you get your handoffs perfect, and you will make more money.
All right, Wally, for them to know more, then they're going to have to pick up your book, Stock the Leadership Malpractice, How to Replace the Typical Performance Appraisal. Go to the website, wallyhauck.com, HAUCK.com, wallyhauck.com. Wally, we're out of time. Thank you very, very much for helping me today. That was great.
That's great. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you very much.
All right.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.